Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Thank you. find. Oh, Lord. If you have your Bible, I'm not going to be long. Turn to the 27th chapter. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 45 and verse 46. And you'll find these words. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk. Praise God. I don't know if they put that up there. Can I just put this down for a minute? Y'all, let me just put that down for a minute. I'm not going to be long. I want to talk about the blessings of a catch 22 dilemma.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. And there is a blessing in a catch 22 dilemma. Amen. As we look at our at this fourth of the seven last sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the cross, we see that he had already prayed for his persecutors, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had already promised salvation to a thief, praise God, that was on his side when he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He had already made provision for his mother, praise God, when he uttered the words, woman, behold thy son. And to the disciple, he said, behold thy mother. But then we see that the scene changes. Praise God, several hours had passed by, amen, and it was the sixth hour, amen. I said in Sunday school this morning that it was at 9 o'clock in the morning that history records that he went to the cross. Now we are at the, praise God, the sixth hour of the day, which is at 12 o'clock noon, and it says that, praise God, until 3 o'clock in the evening, which is the ninth hour, praise God, darkness came all over the land.
Yeah.
Amen. Now this darkness, my brothers and my sisters, was a mysterious darkness. It was a darkness that was done only by God, and praise God. And there's no doubt in my mind that this darkness silenced the crowd.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and you read the text, praise God, they were jeering him. They were saying all kind of things, praise God. They were even telling him to come on down off the cross if you be the Christ. But praise God, when the darkness came, there was silence, praise God, that came over the earth when he uttered those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, history tells us that up until the time that Jesus was crucified, some 30,000 crucifixions had been done at the hand of the Roman government. Praise God. And I need not tell you that crucifixion was the most unusual way to die, praise God, in the world. And to hear Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was the most startling of all words that we could have heard uttered from his mouth. But praise God, he did it because Jesus was caught in a catch 22 dilemma. Amen. Somebody say, what you mean by that? Praise God. What I mean by that? Can I explain that thing to you? Praise God. This was the catch 22. Amen. Man had to be reconciled back to God.
Yes.
Amen. That was one side of the catch 22. But in order for man to be reconciled back to God, somebody had to die.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jesus knew, praise God, that in order for man to be reconciled back to God, that he would have to go to Calvary. That was the catch 22. And when he got into it, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise God. And when I look at that, praise God, there were three things. I'm not going to expand on them, but praise God, I've got to touch them.
Yeah.
Y'all don't mind if I just touch them a little bit.
All right, man.
Amen. Because I know the time has gotten by. Praise God. But the first thing I want us to see in this catch 22, praise God, dilemma that he was in, that Jesus going to the cross was a forced endurance. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. And this was a forced endurance. Amen. You see, most people, when they hear the word forced, they sort of believe that, praise God, it was something, praise God, that was done against his will. But when you really go back and look at the word force, amen, I almost have to tell you, I dare you to go back and look at Webster. Webster will tell you some things about that word force. That word force also has the connotation, praise God, that it is something, praise God, that is compulsory. It is something that's compelling. It is something that urgent, praise God. It is something that is necessary. And praise God, when we're looking at him going to the cross, it was compulsory. It was compelling. It was urgent for him to go to that cross, praise God. And we find that regardless of whatever definition you look at the word, force, praise God, Jesus had to go to Calvary, and he had to go to Calvary on a cross for you and I, praise God, so that we may have a right to the tree of life. Amen. It was compulsory. It was compelling that he go. Amen. And I believe I can make my case. If I go all the way back to Genesis, praise God, chapter 1, verse 26, when he said, and God said unto us, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. And praise God, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Praise God, when I say that, all I need to do is tell you that man had it going on at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God, man had it going on. Man was living in paradise. He was living in heaven, praise God. And he had it going on. Amen. Man had it going on so bad, praise God, that man named every animal that walked upon the face of this earth. Man named every plant that we see upon the earth. Every flower, praise God, that you see. He gave man dominion over all of those things. So I could say that man had it going on, praise God. But guess what? Sometimes when you find somebody who has it going on, praise God, sometimes they'll get beside themselves. Amen. And man decided that he would disobey God. Amen. And then God had to put a plan in place. Not that he had to put a plan in place. He had a plan in place, praise God, that he can reconcile man back to him. And that was for his son, praise God, to come down to this earth and die. So we see that it was compelling for Jesus, amen, to go to the cross. I like that. I didn't know they were going to do that one today, but I like that, praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How they showed how he went to the cross and sends a message to us that he's not dead anymore, y'all.
Yeah,
amen. I like the fact. Can I just throw one of my own little biases in? Praise God. You know, I hate to see folk walk around with crosses. I don't mind folks walking around with crosses.
Yeah.
But I get offended when I see a cross and they still got somebody on it.
Yeah. Hey.
Can I remind you that he's not there? Amen. He's not on that cross anymore. Praise God. He's gotten up, praise God, from that cross. He is no longer dead. But we see, praise God, that him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise God. That was a forced endurance. He had to go to the cross. He was compelled to go to the cross. It was compulsory that he goes to the cross, praise God, amen, and die for our sin. But my second point, praise God, is not even less than that. It says that Jesus had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. I want y'all to catch that. Yeah. Amen. He had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, now, neighbor, he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. Amen. You see, the price of sin had to be paid with a death. Amen. We know that because if we look at Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, praise God. And we say that Jesus had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. I say that because Jesus could not be forgiven. Can I run that by you again?
Yeah.
Amen. See, Jesus could not be forgiven. You and I could be forgiven, but Jesus could not be forgiven. The only thing that he could do is that he could die for our sin. Praise God. He had to pay the sin debt for you and I. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you that he had no sin. See, it took somebody who had no sin, praise God, to die for mankind who had sin.
Yes,
hallelujah. And that sin was a forgiveless sin.
Yeah.
Amen. He died for our sin. Somebody say, how in the world you know that he didn't sin? Amen. All I need to do is call upon the writer of Hebrew. This is what the writer of Hebrew chapter 4 verse 15 says. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but praise God, but was in all point tempted just like we were. But look what it says, yet he had no sin.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that Jesus was tempted.
Yeah.
Praise God. And let me tell you something. If Jesus was tempted and he was able not to commit sin, praise God, those times when we are tempted, we don't have to sin.
Yeah.
Can I say that again?
Yeah,
amen. When we are tempted, we don't have to sin. Praise God. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 will tell you, there has no temptation given you, praise God, that such is common, praise God. But with the temptation, that God will give you a way to escape that temptation.
Yeah.
Praise God. So I'm trying to tell you, praise God, that he had no sin. Praise God. This is what the Isaiah had to say about him in Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. He says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He says, all we are like sheep have gone astray. You see, we all went astray. Praise God. That's why I have to remind believers every now and then. Praise God. Don't you look down your scrawny nose at nobody. Praise God. Because if the truth is told, praise God, and I know it is, if somebody was to snatch the cover off of all of us, they'll find out that we have sinned and come short. Amen. It doesn't hurt me to remind, to tell folks every now and then. Amen. I haven't always been preaching. Amen. I got my kids out there. They'll tell you. Praise God. I haven't always been preaching. Praise God. I used to drink that stuff just like some of y'all used to drink it. I used to get on that flow just like some of y'all used to get on that flow. But look what the text says. It says that we are like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his what? Own way. And the Lord had laid it upon him, the iniquity of us all. In other words, it was laid upon Jesus. Praise God. So he had to bear the burden, praise God, of a forgiveless sin, because he never committed a sin, but he had to take upon the sin of the world. And unlike us,
yeah,
praise God, see, we can go to the Father and we could ask the Father for forgiveness,
yeah,
but he didn't have that luxury.
Yeah.
Praise God, that's why he had to stand on that cross and stretched out and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he feel that he was forsaken? Because the sin of the whole world was upon him. And praise God, and the God that we serve, Almighty God, praise God, he cannot stand to even look at sin. I don't care if it's his own son.
Yeah.
Praise God. And so he turned his back,
yeah,
on his own son. And his son had to look at him and say, my God, the only time that you will find in the text that he didn't refer to his father as father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise God. That's my second point. Let me get to my third point. I said I wasn't going to be long here. Amen. And we find that, praise God, him going to the cross and him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was a forced endurance. We found out, praise God, that it was also, he had to bear the burden of a forgive less sin,
yeah,
praise God. But thirdly, we find that Jesus was desperately seeking his Father's attention. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, he was desperately seeking his Father's attention. And let me ask, anybody in here was a father's child? If you were one of your father's child, would you raise your hand? Amen. You were a mama's child. If you were mama's baby, praise God. Amen. Isn't it something when you have fallen out of grace, praise God, with mama or daddy, and you will do anything to try to get their attention? Yeah, when you've gone out and you've done something wrong and you know you've done something wrong, praise God. And when mama or daddy walks through the door, praise God, after they've gone in for a hard day's work, amen. What do you do? Pray. Which one of these things are working? This one here? Amen. You see them walk through the door and praise God. You say you're trying, you're desperately seeking their attention. And when daddy walks through the door, you run and say, daddy, here's the newspaper. I know you love to read the newspaper. When mama comes through the door, praise God, from a hard day of work, praise God, you'll walk up to her and say, mama, here's a glass of water. I know you're tired, and if you got all of your stuff on the sofa, you start moving your stuff out of the way. Say, mama, come on and sit down, because you're desperately trying to get her attention. So Jesus was desperately trying to get his Father's attention. Amen. And I look through the Bible, there have been a bunch of people who have desperately tried to get their father's and their mother's attention. Praise God. Can I call upon a couple of witnesses here this morning? Praise God. I like to call Jonah. Praise God. When Jonah has gotten to a most desperate stage of his life, God had told Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go down, praise God, to Nineveh, and I want you to preach, praise God, unto the Ninevite. But we know the story. Jonah jumped on a ship and took him a trip to a place called Tarshish. In other words, he was trying anyway. Hallelujah, he was trying. But praise God, God has a way to find you. I don't care where you might be, he has a way to find you. Praise God. I remember, I don't know if it was the late, great Leo Daniels preached a sermon, praise God, that you could run, but you cannot hide. Praise God. He finds a way. If we see that Jonah was aboard this ship, hallelujah, and God sent, praise God, one of his agents out there on the sea called Mr. Wind. And the wind began to blow, praise God, and the wind began to rock and reel and roll this ship, praise God, until those soldiers and those sailors aboard the ship wanted to know what kind of storm we were in. Praise God, they had been sailing the high seas for many, many days, but they had never seen a storm like this. And Jonah, one thing I like about Jonah, Jonah stood up and said, if you want this storm to stop,
Praise God, I'm the culprit. I'm the reason why this storm is blowing the way it's blowing. And if you want this storm to stop, throw me overboard. Hallelujah. And see, they threw him overboard. Am I correct? Praise God. And as we see, he's getting now has gotten down to the most desperate position in the world. If you go to Jonah, the second chapter, and verse 1 and 2, you're going to find these words. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction, and unto the Lord he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and he heardeth me. Yeah. How many of y'all have been down, praise God? Yeah. You've been down in the dumps with the blues, and when you are down in the dumps, I'm talking about the lowest point of your life. Praise God, I'm talking about a child of God. And I see a person who is not a child of God may have some difficulties understanding where I'm coming from. But praise God, a child of God who has gone down so low, praise God, they have gotten to the most desperate time in their life. They know that they got to call on one God. And I'm talking about the one and only God. But can I call one more witness to this thing? Don't y'all remember a boy by the name of the prodigal son? The prodigal son said, Daddy, I'm tired of living under your roof. I'm tired of you telling me that I got to come in at 12 o'clock. Don't you know that things don't start happening until 12 o'clock and you want me to come in? And here's what I need you to do for me, Daddy. Give me my stuff. Praise God. And they said that he gave him his stuff. And he took his stuff and he went off into a foreign land. And he began to live the life of Raleigh. Y'all remember the life of Raleigh? It was a life, praise God, of flower beds and Eve. He was going into the nightclubs, and praise God, he was treating everybody that needed something to drink. But I'm here to tell you, as long as you got something going out, and praise God, and you have no means for something coming in, praise God, sooner or later, that what you have going out is going to run out. And we find that his money ran out. And praise God, he said, well, there's some folk over there who have some hogs, and I need to go and find myself a job. And see, the significance of that is that you would never find a Jew going nowhere round no hog. If I didn't think I would blow somebody's mind as to why that is, I would give you the rationale, but I won't do it in this open forum. But when soon as the service is over, if you want to know why they don't like hogs, praise God, I'll be glad to tell you why. But praise God, we find that this young man found himself eating the husk of the hogs. In other words, he was eating slop. And hallelujah, and then he came to him since. Praise God, he said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.